You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Certainly is time for that. This week, Jemima spoke to James about climate crisis risk assessment and emissions from businesses. She began by asking James to explain the climate change risk assessment framework.
Sure. So, you know, we're already feeling some of the effects of climate change, things like more frequent and severe floods and droughts and storms and so on. But we don't yet have a good grip on exactly what the implications are for that for the country over time. So what we're doing is we're basically engaging in a sort of a massive database exercise around the whole country, saying, okay, well, what exactly are the threats? What are we anticipating is going to happen, say, in the next 5 to 10 years, and then the 10 to 20 years after that, and so on out to 100 years out in the future? And that'll give us a picture of things like property or infrastructure that might be at risk, and that enables us to start planning in advance about what we're going to do about that.
I mean, just by you explaining that, it sort of explains why it's necessary that we need to be preparing for what is going to happen in the future. How will this new framework work alongside the other work the government is doing to combat climate change?
Well, I mean, you would have seen earlier this year, for example, Local Government New Zealand put out a report talking about council infrastructure that they think might be exposed to sea level rise. We had the somewhat snappily titled Climate Change Adaptation Technical Working Group report out about 18 months ago, and that gave us a bit of a picture. And then the idea is that, you know, that this assessment should be more thorough and more comprehensive. And then what we'll do is the government will respond with an adaptation plan that gets updated every 6 years. We're already working on some of this stuff. So we've got a program that involves the Civil Defence Agency, the Ministry for the Environment, and Internal Affairs, who handle all the local government stuff on behalf of central government. And they're working through things like, you know, what's going on in the insurance markets, what sort of, kind of governance structures are we going to need, or how they're going to have to adapt in the future, those sort of issues.
So that adaption plan that the government will come up with and will add to every 6 years, how will that work in a practical sense? Will it be sort of the government will speak to those industries, and that'll go into local government, and the local government will deal with whatever risks are let the public know in their local area what the risks actually are and how that's going to affect?
Local government is kind of largely responsible for dealing with the impact of climate change. So, you know, for example, if you have a really severe flood event, or if you've got coastal erosion, it's your local council that's going to be dealing with how you manage that. Is it going to be through, you know, building seawalls? Is it going to be through managed retreat? Is it, you know, what is it going to be, something else that's going to go in there? Are we going to rebuild sand dunes? You know, those things are generally are handled at the local council level. And so the whole idea of the adaptation plan is it provides some really good, clear guidance for local government. It'll also probably need to have some sort of view about, you know, who pays for what, how and when, those kinds of issues.
So let's move on to the guidelines that were announced last week, the voluntary emissions offset guidelines for local businesses. Could you explain what these guidelines are briefly?
Yeah, so, you know, we've got an emissions trading scheme, which companies that are large emitters of climate pollution are a part of. A number of businesses actually voluntarily, in addition to that, choose to offset their emissions as well. And so, like, an example is Air New Zealand. You know, when you go on and you book a flight on Air New Zealand, you've got the option of clicking a button that says, please offset my flights. That's a kind of a voluntary activity that is above and beyond what happens in the emissions trading scheme. And a number of companies have actually been saying to us, hey, look, we're actually, because this is a voluntary market, it's not regulated, we're actually just a little bit worried that we might be buying into something that isn't completely cool. And so they wanted some best practice guidelines for how to do voluntary emissions and to make absolutely sure that what they're participating in does what it says on the tin. And so that's what we were doing last week.
So do you think that most local businesses are likely to follow these guidelines and get on board with these guidelines? Or is it just those that are concerned about their sort of involvement in the emissions trading scheme and how that works?
Well, it's not a huge number of companies, but it is some of our largest companies are involved in this. And it is a useful addition to the overall suite for how we, deal with the challenge of climate change. I can see a world in which increasing numbers of small businesses also participate in this. For example, we know that there are actually several hundred farms around the country that are voluntarily offsetting their emissions through various schemes. And so, you know, it's good for them to know that the schemes that they're a part of are, you know, credible, that they're transparent, that they're not kind of double counted anywhere else in the system, that kind of thing.
Is the government going to encourage other businesses to look at this and use it to help them to offset their emissions? Or is it more sort of a voluntary thing you get to choose?
Well, it is voluntary. But I think we're just sort of waiting to see how things go, because the voluntary market arose under the pre-Paris Agreement global climate change regime known as the Kyoto Protocol. And now that the Paris Agreement is coming to effect, we're actually not completely sure how the voluntary system is going to play out after the year 2020. So these are temporary guidelines to take us up, they're at least temporary guidelines that'll take us up to the end of the year 2020. And we'll just have to see how things evolve beyond that.
And is that because the Paris Agreement might have a different outcome or a different sort of idea about what a voluntary scheme would look like?
It could. Yeah, that's right. So the Paris Agreement is essentially a new agreement. The Kyoto Protocol expires in 2020. It's replaced by the Paris Agreement. After that, the Paris Agreement has got a different rule book from the Kyoto system, although there's a lot of stuff that got transferred from one to another. But not everything's bedded down with the Paris Agreement yet. So that's sort of part of what we do when we go over to the big conferences at the end of the year, is to try and nail those rules down.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.